Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome to episode 43 on our six-week journey to the Spirit. During this journey, we're going to be exploring the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. And this week, we're going to be talking about peace and long-suffering, or also known as patience.
Ooh.
And our six-week journey ends at Pentecost.
Yes.
Well, with that out of the way,
aren't you going to tell them about the download? We need to tell them about the download.
Please make sure you look at the show notes down below in the description. And there is a link there to our companion download.
Mm-hmm.
And it contains all of the notes, all the scriptures, some of the things that we're talking about tonight. Kind of study guide, study notes.
Yeah, much deeper than what we'll be able to cover tonight, yeah. For sure.
Yep, so take a look there. We have some exercises there for you.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Absolutely free.
I like free.
Yeah.
Free's good.
Definitely.
Okay, with all of the administrative stuff out of the way.
Yes.
My wonderful and amazing husband. Would you like to? Why are you laughing?
That was a blush and a laugh at the same time.
A giggle?
Yes. No, not a giggle. Vikings don't giggle.
Would you like to read the scripture that it's the foundation
yes.
of our whole study?
Yes. This study is based on Paul's letter to Galatia. To the Galatians, we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and we're reading from the New King James Version on this. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," which we know is patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law."
Mm-hmm. So good. I know we read it every week, but it's...
Well, and it's good for the reminder, you know, to really hear it again and let it soak in. And, you know, as we talked about in previous episodes, we like to consider all of those attributes, those things, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. They're like nutrients of one fruit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit.
Mm.
Those attributes are all a part of our inheritance as believers.
Yes.
And we have them.
And we have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Within us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We just shine outward.
Yeah.
So today in our episode, we wanted to talk about something I know that when... I first started diving into the word pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe a little confusing to me. I heard things like mind, body, spirit, and spirit, you know, all these different combinations.
Yeah, body, mind, spirit is the one that...
Body, mind, spirit. I even had a blog at that time. It was called Just Body, Mind, Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, this was 10 plus years ago, I was really focused on... the outward, the physical body, the transformation that took place, the things that I, use air quotes, I did,
mm-hmm.
And the reasons I did them. So I was really, my mindset was focused on, okay, I've lost this weight and I did this and now I'm worthy. Now I'm good because my body looks like this or my fitness is like this, or I'm eating like this. It was very me focused.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't all bad stuff. It was a lot of self-control there. And I believed in God at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't tapping into the Holy Spirit that was inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of work. It was a lot of works that was being done.
Yep.
And also, body was first because my focus was on body. I'm like, I don't even know if I truly knew what mind and spirit were in that
equation.
Yeah. I had in my mind, okay, mind, that's your mindset. You know, it was more of a Tony Robbins type of mindset. Like, okay, I can change your mindset. Well, you really can't change your mindset. You need to be tapped into the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can make that choice to accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, habits and behaviors, you can't do it by yourself.
No.
You can't do it by yourself.
Nope.
So the reason we speak to spirit, soul, and body, first of all, it's in Scripture.
Yeah, actually, it's in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter, chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Mm.
Now, notice one thing. It doesn't say sinless. It says blameless.
Blameless.
There's a big difference there.
Absolutely.
But he points out, and he just rolls over it as if you know the same thing that he knows, that there are three parts to us. There's our spirit, our soul, and our body. And we put it in that same order because everything that happens comes from the inside out. So we start with the spirit. It affects the soul. What's the soul?
Mind, will, and emotion. And the heart. Not the beating heart, but the...
Yeah, the core.
The core.
Core being of you. And then as the soul comes into alignment with the spirit, the body follows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biblical order of things. If you try and reverse that, you're only going to get as far as the soul.
Right.
And you may not even get complete action there or complete results mm-hmm. there because you're going backwards.
Right. So the spirit is the Holy Spirit we receive when we're born again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the born again Holy Spirit. And then when you start to walk in the spirit, and you have that baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's that other part. So those are two different things.
Yeah, don't get ahead of us now. We're talking about Pentecost.
But we talked about this before.
Yeah,
we talked about this before. But when you talked about blameless, when we get that Holy Spirit inside of us, we merge with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of encapsulated. So that sin and that blame can't ooze into our spirit.
Paul also says that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you were sealed.
Sealed, that's the word.
In the Holy Spirit, so that you cannot ever be corrupted in the spirit ever again.
Mm, that's good.
So even though we may do things that are not right, that are sin, it never can corrupt your spirit. That spirit inside of you is sealed. It's united with the Holy Spirit. It's completely impenetrable as far as sin is concerned. So that's one of the things that if you reverse your mindset and start with the spirit and then work outward through the soul and into the body, it pushes that sinful stuff out from a very holy, righteous spirit.
Yep. So at that point, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we inherit those
attributes
that he has.
Mm-hmm.
So we're holy and righteous through him. And so we're just like him in God's eyes.
Mm. That's the way he sees us. He doesn't see us in our flesh and in our imperfectness.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the perfect. God is a spirit, and he sees us in the spirit.
Mm.
And when we were united with Jesus, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus, when we believed, we became just like him.
It's so good.
Righteous, holy, blameless, perfect. in God's sight. And that's who he sees, his beloved child.
That's good.
It's important that that is the primary, and that's why we focus on it so much in our ministry, is we need to understand who we are from God's vantage point. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that?
Well, and I heard it say that our sin does not separate us from God.
Yeah.
So he sees us.
Yeah, there's a lot of teaching in some of the churches today where, you know, if you've sinned and you know you've sinned, you need to go and get right with God, because until you do, God won't fellowship with you. He won't bless you. He's not going to want anything to do with you because you've soiled your britches, so to speak. And that is just, according to the scriptures, that's blatantly false. Mm-hmm. Because your spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And God doesn't even see that spot on the outside of you. Mm-mm. He sees you in the spirit, and he sees his perfect and beloved child. And we need to know that we know that we know that God has accepted us in the beloved.
Even when. And Jesus paid the price for our sin once and for all.
So once and for all.
Past, present, future. I heard an analogy from Teredez Ministries where they said that, and this was kind of funny if you think about it, Jesus didn't keep coming back and dying for our sins.
No.
He's like, no, one time. I did that once. I'm not doing it again. But he did it once, and that was for everything.
And what did he say when he died on that cross? What did he say?
Tetelestai.
It is finished.
Amen.
So good. For all time.
So good.
It's done. And we need to understand that. That is the key to opening up your relationship with the Lord, is to understand that there is nothing that you can do to separate you from the love of God. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And there's nothing that can happen to you. There's nothing that can, any situations that you've got involved in that will ever separate you from the love of God. He loves you, not because you're lovely. He loves you because he is love.
And only you can ever do, only sin that you can ever have is to walk away from.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that you can choose to set aside your salvation and walk away from him, as long as you do so knowingly. Mm-hmm. But there's no slip up or accidental thing that you get yourself involved in that will ever, ever cause him to reject you.
So we have the Spirit. That's what that mm-hmm. he comes to dwell inside of us.
1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Mm. One as in you can't identify one from the other. You can't tell which is which. You are one spirit with him.
And I like when we were talking earlier, preparing for this podcast, we talked about how Adam and Eve were.
Yeah.
They were at one.
When God created Adam in the garden, he formed his body from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed life into him. That word there, the breath, is pneuma. And that's where we get the word spirit from. Mm. So God breathed his spirit into Adam, and Adam was joined to the Lord in his spirit.
Until,
what didn't God say? If you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Another thing in the Hebrew, that word that die means separated. So not only was he separated in the spirit from the spirit of God, but then 920 years later, his body then died. So it took his body, his perfect body, 900 and some odd years to learn how to die. Mm-hmm. And each generation after that was successively shorter and shorter and shorter, because it became not something that the body had to learn how to do. It was born with more of a knowledge of how to die.
So we have the spirit, and then the soul, as we talked about, is mind, will, and emotions, including not the beating heart, the at that heart space.
The core.
And It is, that is the space where our sin is.
Sin is in your flesh, what the Bible calls your flesh.
But it's the place where we have that free mm-hmm. will, and we make those choices that can cause sin. Mm-hmm.
The flesh is the soul and the body.
Sure.
That's when the Bible says.
It's the part like going, let's just do this.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Let's we know it's not right, but I really want to.
And the Spirit's going, he's saying,
No.
Never the word.
That's going to hurt you.
It's going to hurt you. And it's not that we have this free pass to sin. So sin will...
It will harden you.
It will harden you. It can make your life shorter, depending on what choices you're making.
Big time.
And it can bring in illness. That sin is what allows the enemy to come in.
Mm-hmm.
It opens that space, and he's like, "Oh, there it is."
I heard somebody say one time, you know, sin doesn't make God love you less; it makes you love God less. Mm-hmm. So it hardens you and hardens you and hardens you. And if you continue down that path, it can harden you so much that you will actually walk away from the Lord.
Well, and there's also the shame and the blame and the, I'm not worthy and I'm, you know, all those things mm-hmm. from the shame. So you don't want to go, you know, you're trying to like hide out.
Yeah.
And so you probably, you could neglect to... spend time with the Lord because you're mm-hmm. so ashamed of those.
Well, you don't think he wants to spend time with you because right. you, and that's one of the biggest tools that the enemy uses. And I know personally, that's what he used in my life was I was raised in a lot of churches that were fairly religious in their teaching. And they taught that if you have sin in your life, God won't fellowship you. He doesn't want to hang around with you because he can't be around imperfection. He can't be around sin. So for a large portion of my early adult life, I never really had a strong relationship with him because I was always thinking I wasn't measuring up. And so I didn't realize that I could have a very close, loving relationship with him because, you know, he loved me that much. I figured I just wasn't quite good enough. So I was always hanging back, not believing that he wanted to hang out with me, mm-hmm. that he wanted to talk to me. And that was huge for me when I first discovered
that. What?
Oh, man, you want to talk about just an explosion of relief and actually anger because I was so mad at what I'd been taught, you know, had caused me to stay away from the Lord for so long that I missed out on all of that time of having peace and having close relationship with him. That's why it's important to realize that your spirit is perfect. Your soul, as long as it's following the guidance of the Spirit, will lead your body out of all of those things. And even if it doesn't, your spirit is still perfect and God still loves you
mm-hmm. and
perfectly.
How we were talking earlier is if we are one with God, if we have that Spirit inside of us and we're one,
mm-hmm.
when we start talking poorly about ourselves,
ooh.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we'll say, oh, my body's this or my body's that or I'm not worthy because I don't have this or I'm not a good person. How can God love me? You're saying that the price that Jesus paid or that God paid
in Jesus wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough.
Wasn't good enough to save
ouch,
you.
Ouch.
So the Son, the perfect sinless Son of God coming and giving his life and... Just for a little perspective here, when Jesus came to be a man and he died and then he was resurrected, do you know what? He went back to heaven as a man. He is a man. He's maybe glorified man, but he gave up his permanent Godship forever for you and I. And for us to think, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not good enough. Now, wait a minute. Jesus gave up all of that for you. So, is that price enough to save you?
You know, I meant to think twice when I...
He thought you were worth that much.
When I say I need to...
God did.
Do this, that, and the other to be perfect.
Oh.
I'm going to stop that.
Yep.
I got it. Mic drop.
You won, Lord.
The last of the triad is, of course, is the body.
Mm-hmm.
The triad of this triad here.
Spirit, not
the,
soul, and body.
Yeah, the spirit, soul, and body. Which is our temple. And Paul called it, I'm going to let you say it.
Okaterion.
Okaterion. And it's Greek for tent or dwelling. So it's just that
habitat,
covering
yeah.
to keep our guts in. To keep all of our parts in. Yeah. It just makes it a little easier than carrying all our parts around.
It's the car that we ride around in.
Yes. So the body is just that. It's just that covering that.
It's the container.
You know, we do call it, our temple.
Mm-hmm.
And we do, God has given us this temple for this time on earth. So we do need to take care of it. And
But we also need to speak highly of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is the temple of God, no matter what you think about how it looks.
Mm-hmm. It's perfectly made.
It's perfectly made. Yeah. You know what? There are times where we don't take care of it properly and it changes shape on us.
Sure.
And, you know, it gets larger or smaller or whatever the particular case may be. But no matter what, it is still God's temple, and that is holy to Him and precious.
Absolutely. Okay, so spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just, you'll hear us talk about it in that way in our ministry, and that is why I wanted to share that.
Yeah, and it's important because of the topic, because the spirit portion of us is what we've been talking about in our journey to the spirit and understanding all the attributes or the nutrients of this fruit of the spirit, the love and the joy we talked about last week. This week it's peace and patience.
And patience.
All of those things are the spirit that lives inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of those things
available to us.
Right inside of us. We don't have to ask God for them. We don't have to seek them or try to develop them.
We already
have them. Just tap into them.
It's good stuff.
So easy peasy.
Yeah.
He did the hard work.
Yes.
All of it.
So the first one, peace.
Peace.
Shalom.
Ooh.
Shalom, shalom. Mm-hmm. Perfect peace. We talked about this if you followed our Lenten Journey with Jesus, Lenten Journey. We talked about this in, I think it was day 28, where we talked about the concept of peace and shalom and it being this complete, to be sound, just whole, living well, all of those things. That's what that means. And oftentimes in this worldly place that we are, that peace can get shaken. It gets shaken because we're not at that moment in tune or tapping into or allowing the Holy Spirit, that attribute of peace,
to rule in our mind. Yep.
We're allowing those earthly things. Some of those things could be, I don't know, health issues, finances, relationships. I don't know, list can go on and on. Whatever those things are that disrupt your peace.
Everything in this life.
The noise.
Yeah.
Just the noise of the daily. The technology can disturb our peace. But if we're able to turn inward and to connect with the Spirit and know that we have the peace of the Lord, know that He's a good God. He wants the best for us. Knowing that He's going to take care of everything and it's going to be better than what we're hoping for. And hoping in a, not a biblical hope, but a praying and hoping and begging and pleading and all of those things that we do, we need to trust that God's got it covered.
Absolutely. It goes back to what we refer to all the time, is just knowing Him, that knowing His heart for you, knowing His love for you, There is never a time where you should not ask the Lord, Lord, show me today in a greater way than I've ever perceived before how much you love me. Because that's your fallback position. When things are getting tough and the whole world feels like it's crushing down around you, you have, if you don't have that, where are you going to go? You're going to try and figure it out. You're going to get crushed by the weight. You're going to stress. You're going to kill your body by, you know, just totally stressing out about situations. Your peace is going to be gone.
And it's going to disrupt relationships with others.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to disrupt your health. Everything is going to be in shambles if you're not going inward to the Holy Spirit, you know, talking to God, saying, show me. Show me your peace. Show me in the Word. Like, get in the Word.
Yeah.
And look at all of those instances. In the companion download, we have scripture cards there for you. Just a few of them that you can print out and just really dive into those scriptures in those moments where, like, oh, I'm just, my peace is not here. You can dive into the Word and just start reading those and knowing.
Yeah, the Greek word for peace there in the Hebrew is shalom. In the Greek, there is the sozo, but there's also another word called erini or erini, and that really translates as peace or prosperity. Doing well in every situation. Having peace means you're doing well no matter what's coming at you. Can you imagine? Have you ever met somebody who's just totally unfazed by anything and they're just full of joy and they're just super at peace and nothing fazes them? They don't get upset. They don't get fearful. They don't get stressed or anxious. They're just, that's the peace of God.
It's good. I know we had a quote in the Lenten journey. And one of the parts of that quote, it said that shalom is used in greetings and farewells. It's meant to act as a blessing on the one whom it was spoken. May your life be filled with health, prosperity, and victory. Like, so good in all areas.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons we say shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Perfect peace.
And we, like I said, we had a few scriptures. One of them that I liked a lot was, the Lord will fight for you. You need to be still. Exodus 14, and that's out of the NIV. In other versions, it said you need to be patient, but still. So the scripture is talking, I think, about both peace and patience.
Definitely.
I mean, it could be either. I think it.
Well, and I think they're so intertwined that it's hard to separate them sometimes from one from the other in situations like this. But the whole point is, you don't have to fight for yourself. You don't have to get up and
arm.
There's no doing. The Lord will fight for you. Just sit in peace. Just be still.
It's hard.
And trust.
Trust.
Well, it's hard if you trust yourself more than God. If you think you can handle it better than just sitting back and letting God go and take care of it for you.
And I think, well, this can work for peace and patience, but they are intertwined. If you're able to look back at those moments and just reflect back in times where you were all worked up, you were anxious, you were worried, you were not in a peaceful place. And then God came along and shoop, here you go. Like, oh, and I'm worried all about it. So one of the things I like to do personally is, if I'm going to make up a story, which our mind is, I heard it once say, like, the mind is like a lamp. You know how in the stories, Aladdin, they'll rub the lamp.
Oh, yeah.
So the lamp, they rub the lamp and the genie comes out and says, as you wish. And so that's what the mind does. So the mind will listen to you and just hear your story. And then it will just start as you wish, as you wish. Oh my gosh. It's, you know, you're not healthy. You're something's happening or the sky is falling. Oh, okay. Okay. And it just gets on this
spin,
this crazy eight until you break out of that. So if you're going to have a story, write a good one, like write a good one, make up a good one. and just let your mind run with that. Because I guarantee that when it all plays out, that what the Lord has for you is probably even better than the story you can make up, I would say.
I think you're absolutely right. And that's one of the things that, little testimony time, I went out on the road for about a year, and my whole goal was to learn to just trust the Lord no matter what, in every situation. I'm very cranial by nature, and so I'm very prone to want to fix things and figure things out and do it myself. So one of the things that I identified that was probably not the best thing for me to do. It was always the worst thing for me to do was try and figure my way out of situations, because I'm not omnipotent and I don't know everything that's going on, and I can't factor in and calculate every potential circumstance. So my goal in this, I just took a year, and back when I was driving trucks, and I just went on the road. I packed up all my stuff, put it in storage. I didn't have a home. I lived on the road and for a whole year. One of the things that I learned to do was when a situation popped up that I didn't know how to deal with, or that was potentially very negative or dangerous or awful, my very first reaction, I would stop and make myself acknowledge God and say, you know what, Lord? You knew this was coming before I did. And I know that you love me and that you have a good plan for me and that you have already made a way out. Mm-hmm. So I'm turning this situation over to you, and I will follow your lead. And each and every time that I did that, without fail, I didn't even get beyond that point, and boom, there was the answer. I mean, it happened so rapidly.
I think
and
you need
it
to tell the story.
What, with the fuel?
With the...
Oh, no, not that one. I'll tell the fuel when I...
No, where you got locked out.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was kind of part of the same journey, wasn't it?
No, that was another situation.
There's a lot
totally.
Of these.
There's a lot of these. And, you know, if you've ever been on the road, you know that there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of things to go wrong. Well, in one particular instance, I knew how much fuel I had. I knew how far it was to the next fuel stop. And I knew that I could make it just barely. So I kept driving, and there was no options in this particular area that I was driving. There was no place to fuel. So I headed out and just started driving, and I got within 11 miles of my fuel stop, and the truck that I was driving ran out of fuel. What I had failed to calculate was that there was a headwind.
Oh no.
So I was fighting the wind the whole way, and it reduced my mileage to the point where I couldn't make it to my next fuel stop. And it was about 20 degrees outside. It was getting dark, coming up on dusk, and it was windy and cold, and there was no cell phone service.
Oh no.
So as I'm drifting off the side of the road to park the truck that is no longer running, I'm going, oh my gosh. And I reminded myself, I said, okay, self. I said, okay, Lord, you knew this was coming. I didn't even have a clue that the headwind would make that big of a difference on my fuel mileage, but you did. And I know that you've got a plan for me, because this could be deadly being out here and it's so cold. And I was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I hadn't seen a car in 2 hours anywhere. No cell phone service. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust that you have a plan for me and that it's way better than anything that I could figure out. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to trust this to you, and I'm going to jump out and start walking towards town and let you work it out. So I locked my truck up, got my jacket on, and started walking. I did not get 25 feet in front of that truck And guess what comes up over the hill in front of me? It was a sheriff.
Wow.
Long story short, the sheriff was able to radio back to town. They get somebody to run fuel out to me and enough to get me to town so that I could fuel the truck.
Wow.
And on top of all that, it didn't cost me a dime. All because I guarantee you, if I just stressed out about it, that whole situation wouldn't happen. Because each and every time that I chose to do that and trust God and acknowledge Him in that situation and let Him fix it, each time it was that perfectly. Sometimes even I didn't even get out of the truck and it was handled. Mm. The whole point is you can choose to be at peace and trust. Mm. And know that your Heavenly Father loves you. He's got only good things for you. Or you can stress out about it and kill yourself.
Yeah, well, that's a good story. Good, good, good. God is good.
He is. Always. All the time. Amazingly.
I know in that instance you chose to let the peace of the Lord rule you. We can also use peace as that litmus test, if you will.
Mm, yes.
Like, is this of the Lord or is this of the enemy? Or
when you have a choice to make.
Yep. Yeah, when you have a choice to make. I know you've asked me that. I never thought about that before, but there, in the past, maybe I think 2 years, you've said it a few times. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't hearing from the Lord. I'm trying to, okay, is that the Lord's voice? I don't know. I just didn't know.
Didn't have a direction on which way to go.
Didn't have any direction. Yep. And I remember you saying, does it bring you peace or does it cause you conflict if you make that decision, or is it bringing you peace to make that decision? I'm like, okay. And then I was able to ascertain mm-hmm. whether it was of the enemy or just not the direction to go, mm-hmm. or if it was truly, no, that brings me peace to, yep. to consider doing this, that, and the other. So that's a good.
And there's that scripture. I wish I could. I'm not remembering the reference. I'll look it up and maybe we'll put that in the notes. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. You have to let it rule in your heart. So there's the choice again. So if you're making notes or you're paying attention, you're going to notice things that are repetitive here. Each one of these attributes, you have to, number one, choose. Well, first you have to know that you have them. Number two, you have to know the love of God and trust Him. And three, you have to choose, right? You have to choose. What's it going to be? Is it going to be your way, or are you going to trust Him? Are you going to handle it, or are you going to trust Him?
I think I'd rather trust Him based on my
personal experience. I'm not qualified to even begin to answer a lot of the situations that have happened in my life. Mm. I am not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm sorry. I've proven to myself my ability to fail. Convincingly.
So that scripture is mm-hmm. Colossians 3:15.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body.
There you go. That's right.
Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
So, moving on from peace.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Patience.
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering. And we realized, you know, either you have a guardian dog or a toddler, and then you know why it's called long-suffering. Yeah. Because sometimes it's so hard.
I think toddlers were easier than guardian dog.
I know. We have a guardian dog, and at the time of this broadcast, he's 6 months old.
And about 100 pounds.
100 pounds, and his sister's a little shy of that, but
she's probably 85.
Oh my goodness. They have selective hearing, and oh, yeah, it's a lot. And we have to be very patient because you're supposed to be kind to them. even when they do things, you're supposed to correct them, but then you're supposed to make sure you're connecting and bonding with them. So it makes it a little challenging. And that's kind of how patience is for me with a lot of things. I was in the wrong line when God handed out patience.
Like, no.
When the fruits of the Spirit
Your spirit has patience in it, just like mine.
I know. I think like I just didn't else. Know. Wow. No, I'm not tapping into, I know I don't tap into the spirit often. I get anxious, or I want it now. I want the answer now. And I have my little menu and I'm like, okay, here, Lord, serve it up. I want this. I want this. I want this.
And I've determined that this is the best path and this is the best
thing to do. I've already analyzed it.
I've analyzed it for you. You don't need to worry about it. I got it handled. And this is the answer. So here's the process. Let's do this. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for a project manager by trade to let someone take the driver's seat. But I have learned that I need to do that. I know a little bit of our testimony, finding our perfect for us property here, the Haven of Angels. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of patience involved. You know, we went from selling a house in California the weekend that we were supposed to be moving. We found out that the VA loan didn't go through because of some road disclosure thing stuff, all this stuff that the VA does. And they said, sorry, you can't buy that house. We're like, wait a minute. All of the stuff in the house and your house. I mean, like we were married, but we had stuff from, you know, multiple houses. We're ready to go into a new place. And we had no storage unit available. We had no place to stay. And it was November, so snow was starting to fly.
Oh, yeah.
And we were freaking out a little bit, but we know it was God coming in. And we made a call about the storage unit. We just started Googling and
we found the RV.
And we found the RV. So when we called the storage unit, it was the last storage unit.
It would just come on the market 2 hours before I called.
It was big enough to hold all of our stuff for all of that. I mean, like it was huge. Semi in there.
Yep.
It was huge. So we were able to book that. And then we thought we need somewhere to stay and we don't want to waste money just renting places, or we didn't know how long. And so we bought because we both work in it, bought a big RV.
Two bedroom.
And we were able to have my in-laws get it all set up for us. They helped make the sale and get it all buttoned up and ready for us. And when we rolled into town, we were able to go to sleep in our new RV.
That was already set up in the park.
Yeah, so.
And on a long-term rental space for us that was guaranteed through the end of winter. And all of this happened in a week's time.
That's right.
All of it.
From California to Idaho.
We were able to change where the location of our stuff was going, because now it was going to the storage unit, and got that storage unit, got the RV, got it put into place for us remotely.
And there was a place at the RV park, which was rare.
And that was unusual because there's usually a long waiting list for full-time spots there at that particular RV park.
Yeah.
But because God was in it, the storage unit came open, the movers made an exception for us and went that extra little space to put it in our storage unit.
Yeah.
The guy that sold us the RV made a deal with us and he delivered it to the park for us and helped set it up. My parents were there and they have helped finish connecting everything so that when we got there,
we just went to bed.
We just brought our bags in and it was warm and it was ready for us to just crawl into bed.
So
it was amazing.
Just being patient and allowing God to work through all of that. Since then, the market was really hot and we couldn't find this place. Mm-hmm. Took 8 months of us both working remotely, doing video calls, all that kind of stuff in this trailer, which was a big trailer, but it's still a small space.
It got smaller and smaller by the week, didn't it?
So I think we had, I don't know how many offers on places and things fell through and we were still trusting in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then this place, it even fell through and we had to change our financial arrangement, you know, different type of loan to get this place. And in the meantime, God said, okay, well, I'm going to drop it. I don't know how many thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Drop the price. So we dropped the price and we were able to come back and purchase this perfect for us property. and things have, you know, there's more stuff. It's just
continuous.
It just keeps going. So the reason I share that testimony is that we need to know God's love. He loves us so much. As you said before, He wants the best for us. It's always going to be better than what we can imagine. So we need to put our agendas aside, trust Him, and maybe anchor those moments. Like, so we know those moments. I feel like we need to do a flow chart, a timeline of like everything that happened. And so that we can look back and say, oh, but God was there. God was there. God did that.
God handled it.
Yeah. And so in those moments where you might not be patient or you might think, oh, this needs to move quicker, trust and know God's got a plan. He knew all this stuff was coming before.
And I think that's the biggest key. That's the biggest key.
He's not surprised.
To patience is recognizing that He's got the best plan for you already planned and in motion. And it's always going to be greater than anything that you could devise.
So be excited about it. Be curious about it.
And wait for it.
You know, but you could be just excited like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, you know, a kid at Christmas Eve, like, oh, I can't wait to see what's going to be under that tree. So just be curious and be patient.
It's like that Romans 8:25, the scripture that we put in there. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or so patience.
Good. Patience, yeah.
Over the long haul.
That's good.
So hope is your positive response to what God has said. When you can imagine all of the blessings that God has said that He's provided for you in His Word, hope is super important. It says, if we hope for what we do not see, if we hope, and there's the if, you have to hope for what you don't see, then eagerly wait for it with patience or perseverance.
That's good.
Man.
It's so good.
Key to patience.
Mm-hmm.
Hope.
Well, we covered a lot.
We did. And we probably, oh my goodness, we burnt their ears off this time.
Yeah.
The mind cannot absorb any more than the seat can withstand.
Nope.
Or something like that. Well, we appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that this was a blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should pray us out tonight, baby.
Okay.
Would you?
Yes, please. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and just with so much gratitude for everything that you've done for us and everything that you have for us. We're so thankful for this spirit that you've placed inside of us, that you breathed into us. That it's there, He's there to guide us, to have those fruits of the Spirit, all of those attributes that we can just tap into at any moment. Mm-hmm. When we're feeling anxious, when we're not patient and we're wanting things to happen a lot quicker, please just remind us to tap into that Spirit. Tap into the patience that the Holy Spirit has for us. Because we know that whatever it is that we're waiting for, that you already know what that outcome is, and it's going to be so much better than we can ever imagine. So we're just thankful for that, God, that you love us so much, that you want the best for us in everything, in our health, in our finances, in our relationships. You want the best for us. You just love us, and you just want to be in relationship with us. So we just ask that, that we just continue to draw closer to you and just be in relationship, that we can hear that voice that you have that just draws us in, and that we carve out that time out of the busy days that we have, carve out and just clear that clutter, the noise, so that we can just sit and be with you. We can soak up the love that you have for us, and we can be patient in those moments. Just allow your peace to just fill us up. Allow it just flow over so that we don't become impatient, so that we're not anxious, we're not fearful, we're not worried, we're not getting into that space where we may do things or say things that harm relationships, but we just tap into your peace. We just rest and we're just still waiting for your next steps, waiting for your voice, waiting for all that you have for us. And for those that I just feel like there's someone out there that's just in such an anxious space and not getting rest and not being able to calm themselves and just feeling lost and not hearing your voice, just ask that you come in and calm them, let your peace flow over them and let your love just wrap around them, just like a big warm hug, and just let them know that they are loved and let them settle into patience. Let them settle into your peace and let them know that everything's going to be okay. It's going to be more than okay. It's going to be perfect. We just ask that you continue to draw us in so that your peace and your love can just overflow out of our hearts and onto those around us, so that more are drawn into you. We ask all of these things in your son's precious name, and all God's kids said,
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for praying us out. Shall we bless them with some peace?
Some perfect peace?
Absolutely. Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next time.
I love you.